Our speaker for today is the Reverend Scott Wilson. Most of you know him. He was a ruling elder in our church for many years, and then became a teaching elder and a chaplain in an Axe retirement community. And he has graciously agreed to bring God's word to us this morning. So thank you, Scott, and we welcome you to the pulpit. And pray God's blessing on you.
Good morning. It is always a joy and a privilege to share in the ministry of the pulpit here at Lansdale Presbyterian Church. And I would like to thank Pastors Keene and Hand and the session for extending that opportunity once again. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and we are, by God's great kindness to us, continuing to look together at the wonderful account in Matthew's Gospel about the coming of God's Son into our world. The title of our message summarizes what we want to say today. This morning we are looking at the unique nature of God's Son. Now, if you have spent much time in this church or in any other good Bible teaching church, you already know that Jesus is unique and that he is the only person in history who has two natures. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is one person with two natures. All those who submit themselves to the authority of Scripture, all those who by faith accept and believe the amazing things that the Bible teaches, have confessed throughout all of church history this wonderful truth that the second person of the Trinity took on flesh in order to be born as a perfect, sinless human being. He did this in order to do something for us who, because we are sinners, are not perfect. Our focus this morning will not be on defending the truth of the Incarnation, a claim made by the New Testament writers that Jesus is God in the flesh. If you think that claim is nonsense, or if you have thought about it and you find it hard to believe, please see me or Pastor Keene or Pastor Hand at some time. We would love to answer any questions you have as best we can, and we trust that the Lord would help us to speak to you in a way that would be satisfactory to you. This morning, we want to turn our attention to this unique Son of God, this person whom Matthew describes as being so wonderful that he has been given two names. These two names, when we understand them and apply them to ourselves, are why the gospel is good news. Last week, Pastor Hand took us through Matthew chapter 1, where he focused on verses 18 through 21. And in that passage, Brian told us about the sovereignty of God and the power of God in the sending of his Son to secure our salvation. This morning, we will read those verses again, and then read the next four verses where Matthew tells us about the unique nature of God's Son. Before we read the scriptures and apply them to ourselves, let's take an important pause and ask God the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to receive his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that there are four gospels and we never tire of reading them over and over again. And we never tire every year of turning once again often to Matthew and Luke and to hear about how it came about that God sent his Son into our world and that he took on our flesh to do special things for us. Help us this morning, whether we are learning brand new things or hearing old things over again, that you would be pleased to bless us with faith and understanding, and help us to be changed by the word of God. And this we ask in his name. Amen. If you're using the Bible near you that the church has provided, we are in the New Testament. We're on page 1026. as we read Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord give us all ears to hear his holy word this morning. As we look at today's passage, we notice that the son born to Mary is said to have two names. In verse 23, he is called Emmanuel, and in verse 25, he is called Jesus. Now, as you probably already understand, no one ever used the name Emmanuel as Jesus' alternative name. His mother Mary never yelled out the back door of their home, Emmanuel! It's time to come home for dinner. But the name Emmanuel is extremely important for us to understand and apply to Jesus. In verse 23, Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who told the people of his day that the Lord would send the people of God a very special person who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. We need to ask ourselves why a name like God with us would be considered so special. Anyone who has spent much time reading the Bible or attending Sunday school or who has heard faithful biblical preaching and teaching would certainly know that it is true that God is always with us. We have a theological word we use to describe God as being always present with everyone and everything all over the universe all the time. We say that God is omnipresent. He is literally all present all the time. You cannot go anywhere without God being there. Read Psalm 139, where David rejoices in the fact that wherever he goes, he is comforted and encouraged that God is always with him. But Jesus is given the name Emmanuel, God with us, not because he is omnipresent. He is given the name Emmanuel for another reason. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all equally infinite in all their attributes. Over the course of several months, Pastor Keene has taken us on a wonderful tour of the biblical descriptions of God's attributes. We have learned who God is and what he is like. God is everywhere in all his being at all times. And because Jesus is fully God, he is by his divine nature omnipresent. But he was not named Emmanuel because he is omnipresent. Jesus came into our world, our fallen, sin-laden, our dark and dreary world, because our sins had separated us from God, and we desperately needed someone who could change that. From the moment our race was plunged into sin, the omnipresence of an infinitely holy God became the worst problem that a sinful human being could have. From Genesis 3 until the final pages of the Bible, we are sinners living in a world created by God and sustained by this God, who are unable to be with this omnipresent God unless he does something about the sin that keeps us from being close to him. Sin, and we should never talk about sin hypothetically, your sin and my sin deserve the righteous judgment of an infinitely holy God. It would have been completely just for God to end the human race right at the beginning when our first parents committed sin. But praise God that the gospel began in the garden. Rather than bring about full and final judgment, our good and gracious God does something else. By his amazing grace and goodness, God purposely, temporarily separated himself from the ones who had just rebelled against him. From the time Adam and Eve were banished from God's special intimate presence in the Garden of Eden, from that time on, men and women and boys and girls have lived in God's omnipresence, but they have not been with him in a close and personal and intimate presence unless he himself initiated contact with them and brought them back into a close and personal relationship with him. God, by his grace, has provided a path that leads back into Eden. What we are talking about this morning when we look at the name Emmanuel, the name given to the Lord Jesus long before he was born, is the wonderful recognition that God did something for sinners like you and me to bring us back to God, even though our sins had separated us from him. At the same time that we could say that God is omnipresent and therefore with everyone because he is everywhere, we would not be able to say that he is with everyone in what is meant when we say that Jesus as Emmanuel is God with us. We could say it this way: God is omnipresent with all people, but only Emmanuel with some people. We said a moment ago that human sin is so serious that it separates us from God. And you and I are sinners. Everyone here today and everyone watching online are sinners. How is it then that some sinners who have become separated from God are brought back? Can Jesus be called Emmanuel by everyone or only by some? What does the Bible tell us? From the beginning of the Bible until its final pages, there is always a distinction made between those who are part of the family of God and those who are not. The history of the entire family of God is that God has graciously brought some sinners into his family, even though they had been previously separated from him by their sin. From Adam and Eve to Noah and his family, to Abraham and his believing descendants, then Moses and the believers in Israel, and then to the ever-widening inclusion of Gentile believers like us, all throughout the history of our world, because we all are sinners, only those who have been drawn back to God by his grace, only those who have confessed their sinfulness, only those who by grace have believed on the Lord Jesus, only those can call him Emmanuel. Only those who are in the family of God by his grace can rejoice that God is with us. God is omnipresent to everyone. He is good and gracious to everyone in many ways, and he is very patient with all sinners. But he is only close in an intimate and personal way to those who have come to know him by grace through faith and repentance. If this morning you have a sense of how offensive your own sins are to a God who brought you near, that is the reason that you are so extremely grateful to him. And that is why you thank him and praise him that he sent his Son into our world to be your Emmanuel. The other precious name we want to talk about today that was given to Mary's son is the name he was given by Joseph, who was told on angelic authority that he should be called Jesus. He's called that because the name means that he came to be a savior from sin. The more we look at the Son of God who came into our world by taking on flesh, the more we see just how wonderful he is. Only the one who can bring you so close to God that he can be called God with us. He is the only one who is able to bring you close to God because he alone can save you from your sin. So secondly this morning, and no need to worry, it may be the second point, but we are a lot further than halfway. Secondly this morning, the one called Emmanuel in verse 23 is given another name in verse 25. The son born to Mary was called Jesus. Last week, Pastor Hand talked about verse 21, where the angel told Joseph to name him Jesus because, quote, he will save his people from their sins. Brian told us that the name Jesus literally means God saves or God is salvation. Now, what does it mean to save people from their sins? How serious is it to be a sinner? According to what we learned a few weeks ago when Dr. Poirier preached, being a sinner is deadly serious. Alfred took us through a list of names of people who lived in the early days of history, and he showed us a sobering pattern of words that followed every description of these important individuals. At the end of each person described in Genesis 5 in a genealogy were these three words, and he died. Adam was warned in Eden that sinning against God would result in death. God told him, if you sin, you will surely die. Adam and Eve both sinned. And that sin led to death and to the separation from God's special presence that we've already talked about. Matthew wants us to see that God sent his Son to us to save us from our sins. Now, we need to read further to find out what all happens. Later in Matthew's gospel, we learn that Jesus saves us by dying for us on the cross. In time, Matthew will show us that Jesus was born sinless in order to die in the place of the sinful. Matthew presents us with Jesus as God in the flesh. Without the incarnation, we would remain separated from God, and we would be without spiritual life. The incarnation is something we must believe Now, many people, and you're familiar with this if you're talking to many of your friends, many people do not believe it. But you and I do, and all Christians all throughout history have also believed it. You and I believe the unique claims of Jesus, claims made by himself and taught by the biblical writers. We believe that not because we are naive or superstitious or brainwashed. We believe these things because we trust God to tell us the truth about Jesus. We believe what is clearly revealed to us over and over again in the scriptures. The better we understand what it means that Mary's son is called both Emmanuel and Jesus, the more we will praise him, the more we will thank him, and the more we will bow down before him. It is the truth of these claims that cause us to worship Jesus Christ. These claims are what captured the sanctified imagination of Charles Wesley when he composed the great Christian hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Wesley may have had this very passage from Matthew in mind when he included the truths of Jesus as the eternal Son of God who chose to descend from heaven to earth, to be with us as our Emmanuel, and to be Jesus who came to save us from our sins. In the second stanza, Wesley writes, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. The Son of God came to us as a gift from the Father. In the fullness of time, he takes on flesh to do for us what no one else could do. He has given the name Emmanuel, God with us, and he is to be called Jesus, the one who came to save us from our sin by dying for us as a perfect, sinless human. Let us join our hearts together now in prayer as we thank our Father for sending his Son. And then we will join our voices together in a hymn to his praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would confess this morning that our sins had separated us from you. We would not be able to draw near unless Jesus would come to be God with us, unless he would come to die for our sins as a perfect, sinless human being. We marvel at the gospel laid out for us in the early chapters of Matthew. Help us this morning as we continue to worship and as we now sing to praise this one who is Jesus and Emmanuel. Help us to glory in this. Help us to share this message with all of our friends and family, all our neighbors and co-workers. We pray that you would bless the ministry of Lansdale Presbyterian Church when we are gathered together and when we are in different places, that we would faithfully testify about this one who's called Jesus and Emmanuel. We pray in his name. Amen.